May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I am so privileged to stand among so many people who are blessed. You are indeed blessed. If you hear that last few words of the Peter reading, you'll see that you have come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and you haven't seen him. And that's what Peter is writing about. He's saying, look, you haven't seen, and yet you believe. And the John reading, the Gospel reading, picks up that theme, doesn't it? And what's even more exciting, of course, is that we often assume that Thomas's doubt was resolved by touching Jesus. There's no indication that he actually did that, because in other parts of John's Gospel, the resurrection narrative with Mary, for example, he says, don't touch me because I haven't yet ascended. What I'm thinking we need to explore is the reality that John's Gospel explores extensively, and that is the nature of seeing. We all know that in our modern age, seeing can be deceived. And we all go to the pictures. Just yesterday, actually, I heard a thing on the radio. I don't know, how many of you have seen The King and I? Anybody? The King and I? Yes. And we all saw Deborah Carr singing away there, didn't we? It wasn't Deborah Carr. And there's so many times when we can be deceived by seeing, and yet Jesus talks to Thomas. Blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen me. Do you believe in me because you've seen me? Blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet believe. And what is this seeing is believing? It's connected to eternal life. So we need to explore a bit what that eternal life is. It's a new life now. It's right here. We just sang it. Now is eternal life. It's here. It's life in Christ. And life in Christ is life in community. So here we are, the blessed community of disciples of Jesus. And that blessing isn't just, don't worry, be happy. It's not that, okay? It's more than that. It's that when you get up in the morning, as we said in our opening prayer, we give thanks to God for, even someone as grumpy as I am in the mornings can do that. I give thanks to God because I look in the mirror and I think, after I've parted my face, I think, oh gosh, that's amazing, God, that you could have created something like that, However, we rejoice and give thanks, but we do that as a community. And it's interesting because Peter talks about the trials and tribulations of the community, the nature of the community will be that we will be tested. Our belief will be tested. And in a sense, that's what Thomas is about. It's testing. It's a seeing. Well, I really do need to actually touch Jesus and put my hand in the side because it's tangible, And Jesus' very presence in our midst just blows that away. I mean, I've never had anyone come to me and say, I want to put my hand in the side of Jesus. I want to touch Jesus. It's interesting because people want to see Jesus, and in the way that Jesus appears to the disciples, it's quite spooky, isn't it? They were in a locked room and suddenly there among them, and he says, "Peace be with you." Well, I don't know about you, but if somebody who just recently died just popped in for a quick visit and said, "Peace be with you," I'd be a bit worried. I might be thinking that I would join them and go out through that same way that they came in. Jesus appears to the disciples and they worshipped him. They believed that he was the very same person that they'd followed around for 3 or 4 years. But to deal with this issue of eternal life, we need to reflect on the nature of life itself. The psalmist talks about the person being held back from the pit and not rotting in the grave and so on. And in a sense, we as Christians look at that and think, yes, that's what God can do. God can bring life out of death and even hold back the power of death. But my friends, my fellow disciples, we are the blessed. And as blessed people, we have the joy to see God's strength in action, to come to believe in the resurrection power. This power is not a struggle, good and evil. You know, death is bad, kill, 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 bad. Life is good, 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 live. God, there was never any doubt that God could do what God did. And Jesus trusted that right to the very end. The Romans killed him, sure enough. Dead, dead, dead. But God raised him from the dead. And that idea of life coming out of death, being held back, is not God the good struggling against whatever the forces of evil are. It's Jesus, the vulnerable God with us, a standing aside from the very power that he could exercise in order to show God's power to redeem the vulnerable. And so that promise for Jesus was real. I will save you from death. And God did that. And so you and I have a foretaste of that. And that's enough for us. Yes, of course, we can all sit back and at some point intellectually say, well, you know, I've seen this 12-card trick. Remember when I came back from my previous holidays, I talked to you about the magic show and how they just did these amazing things. We can be deceived visually. We can be deceived intellectually. What I have come to believe over my short years in this world is that God has produced so many witnesses to his strength and power. I've met healers, I've met discerners, I've met, you know, rejoicers, I've met all sorts of people. And you are here, Sunday after Sunday, blessing God, praising God, rejoicing in the new life that we have in Christ. This very day, I want to talk to you a bit about the sacrifices that some of our young men made back in 1914 and 15 and so on. Anzac Day. And as I was watching the ceremonies and the parades and things, I was aware that these young men went, and they were very young, some as young as 15, not all of them, but some of them, These were young men who went consciously or unconsciously aware of the risk that they would be prepared to die for their country. They would be prepared to die for God, King and country, an ideal of freedom, an understanding of our values or whatever. The vulnerable went in there. Some of them were killed, a lot of them. But out of that was born a myth, a story, a true story of a nation that was prepared to endure failure and even celebrate failure. And we as a Christian community also celebrate what seems to be a failure to the world. Yes, they got Jesus and they killed him. The Romans and those Jews, they were winners, right? Wrong. We as Christians celebrate the reality of new life in Christ. God redeemed the vulnerable. And out of the vulnerability of those men that went to Gallipoli and other places in France and Europe, those people gave birth to a nation in such a way as to give us an abiding point of life to gather around as community. And we respond as community. This year at the War Memorial down in St Kilda Road, I'm told that over 40,000 people turned up. That's not a bad crowd. I'm here to tell you that in Melbourne, every Sunday, 40,000 plus Christians gather to worship and praise God. Isn't that interesting? Not only interesting, but it's hopefully it makes us aware that we as the vulnerable community constantly under attack. How do you believe all that stuff? Gee, you bugs are idiots, blah, blah, blah. We do. And God has blessed us indeed with a faith so strong that we're able to reach out and reach out to the community, even those who don't believe, and say, here we are. We're here to help. We're here to love. We're here to bring about justice. We're here to bring God's peace. Peace be with you. Amen.